Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. The Leafs locked down 2 points on Long Island.
The Leafs on the shot. Scores! Kessel off the right wing. And Leo Komarov makes a great pass to give the Leafs a tie. And Kessel's getting onto it. He's in a goal! He scores! Phil Kessel snaps it off the near post and in.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Phil Kessel scores and the Leafs win. It's kind of formulaic, isn't it? 7:02, Brady and Walker. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady. Phil Kessel scores a couple of goals last night, Greg, that, let's face it, there's not a lot of guys that turn those rushes into post and in goals.
Yeah, it was a show, that's for sure. He struggled over the weekend, I thought, because Detroit was real physical with him. And you don't think about Detroit and say, well, they put the body on people. They don't have tough guys. They don't fight. I don't think they've had a fight yet this season. But they went after him. And you know, you can link Mike Babcock and Team Canada to them going after Phil Kessel in the semifinal game. He was the leading scorer in the Olympics, and the U.S. really never came close to scoring that game. It helps when you have a bunch of future Hall of Famers. But I thought last night, you're right, he opened up, potted a pair of goals that guys just don't score regularly, and we can call them bad goals. Eventually, Yaroslav Halak got pulled, like Henrik Lundqvist got pulled, you know, about a week and a half ago. But this team is going right now as Phil Kessel goes. When he scores goals, they win games. They're 3-0. When he doesn't, they lose. They've been outscored 14-6 when Phil Kessel doesn't score.
Let me ask you this, and this isn't being reactionary. This is just wondering about the balance, because we've seen this story before, right? The big line scores, the Leafs win. We saw it last year. And then at the end of the year, whether it was fatigue or whatever, when the top line was kind of shut down, this team really fell into the tank.
Sure. Yeah.
Could you, in theory, split up Phil Kessel and James Van Riemsdyk for a little balance in the top six?
I don't dislike the idea, because the balance seems to be an issue right now. And that leads into something we'll talk about a little bit with Nazem Kadri. I don't look at Kadri, who I didn't think was noticeable last night. Is that fair? It's one thing to say he was dog crap. That almost sounds like it's going personal on the guy. But he wasn't very good. He doesn't have a point in his last four games.
He has 2 points this season. Joffrey Lupul has 3. Daniel Winnick is playing with him, and he is. Listen, I know the possession guys are all over Daniel Winnick, and he's fine in a certain role, but he's not a second liner.
We're not talking a top six forward in the best league in the world. We're not talking about that with Daniel Winnick. So if you sort of gift wrap JVR and he, you know, pops out of the cake and he's all of a sudden one of Nazem Kadri's wingers, is that going to make Kadri more productive or less productive? Well, I think that's a really easy answer. Lupul has played well with Bozak and Kessel before, and they played quite well before Van Riemsdyk even arrived here. And you had that. Listen, when the things were going well for Ron Wilson's Leafs, they had a top six that was good production with Grabowski, Kulaman, and MacArthur, but you also had Lupul, Kessel, and Bozak. And those were decent times. They did things a little different in the bottom six than Randy Carlyle does now also, but it might be the jump start that Nazem Kadri needs. So I think what you're getting at is a great point, in that sometimes you just think, well, you'll lose four straight, and then you'll say, we got to change something. Change it while it's going. Change it after a game like last night, even, and say, let's see how this works.
They get a goal from their third line, which is great. And you know what? David Clarkson, as we knew he would, is turning into a bit of a story. But you don't get anything from your second line. And the top line, God, if you key on them and they go dry, you're kind of back where you started. I look at, you know, and we could overrate him or underrate him. I get it. And people in this town go both ways. But, you know, Tyler Bozak is the guy that distributes the puck on that top line. We love how Phil Kessel can take over a game when he's right. We love when JVR lowers his shoulder and decides, I'm going to go to the net and no one can stop me. But, I mean, how often are we talking about, boy, this great chemistry between Kessel and Van Riemsdyk, and those two together, nobody can stop them. I think they're both superstars, but aren't they independent of each other? Yeah. Doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah.
They both drive a line?
They do enough different things, and yeah, can they drive a line? I wouldn't see why not. I want to also comment and get your read on the – it kind of got going yesterday afternoon, maybe in anticipation of this matchup. Don't forget, by the way, Sens Leafs are the first part of the doubleheader, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. It's on Sportsnet 1 with the baseball, Giants Royals on Sportsnet, and then Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals in Edmonton for the late game just after 9:30. That's also on Sportsnet 1. Should mention that. And we're going to talk to Doug McClain coming up at 7:22. Kadri got, I think we're being fair in saying he opened the door and made a comparison of himself to John Tavares. Now, what he didn't do that I thought got misunderstood by some people, this was after Monday's practice, apparently, what he didn't do is say, I'm as good as him. But I do want him to say, talent-wise, we're not that dissimilar. I don't mind him saying that. I don't mind him. I didn't see it as brash as opposed to confident. He basically has also admitted, John Tavares has worked harder than I have. And that's a tough thing to do as a player, to kind of open that Pandora's box, because people know that that's there about Kadri. What has he taken for granted? What is he? His AHL coach said it. His two NHL coaches, Wilson and Carlisle, have hinted, this is a guy that's got to get better at things away from the puck. And you say the same thing when you watch him.
Yeah, I still think, and again, nothing gets people more fired up in this city than talking about the Leaf centerman, right? I am in Camp Bozak. I like Tyler Bozak as a player. I think people get down on him a little too much. I am down on Nazem Kadri. I think the league is a little bit down on Nazem Kadri. I don't think that stuff like this overly helps him. I do think, because, yeah, he had 50 points last year, and points, right, in your fantasy pool, that's never going to be an issue with Kadri. The key to his entire career, if we're talking about Nazem Kadri as, you know, a going into deep playoff rounds and things like that, it's all going to be based on the defensive side of the puck, isn't it? Right? Nazem Kadri to be the player that we all think he can be or hope he can be, it's going to be more of a Patrice Bergeron comparable than a Jonathan Taves comparable.
Or John Tavares to that extent. And no one complains about how Tavares plays against other centers. It's just all it's ever been with Tavares is what's around him, how's his goaltender, can his team keep the damn puck out of their net? Tavares has played 200 more NHL games than Nazem Kadri, even though they're both from the same draft class. So it was, here, we're shoving you into the fire on a bad hockey team for the first few years. Make something of it.
Leafs and Sens tonight as part of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. It goes at 7 on Sportsnet 1, followed by the Capitals and the suddenly red-hot Edmonton Oilers.
Stop that.
7:10. Let's get you what you need to know.
This is your Wednesday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Also, a big fan of the show, super listener, super fan, Darcy Tucker joins us at 8. Number 6, the Columbus Blue Jackets, Greg. It's been a feel-good couple of years for this team. This story is not one of them. They are concerned that Nathan Horton's back injury, which is kind of being talked about now as a degenerative back condition, might force him to retire.
I'm trying to think of the last real, I guess you'd call him a star or close to it, had his career in jeopardy this early because of his back. We've obviously seen guys have to call quits because of concussions. Well, Gary Roberts is the story that I think of, who had to step away from the game for a couple of years. And
Eric Daze comes to mind, right? He was a young, 30-35 goal scorer. Adam Deadmarsh had to retire because of concussion issues.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a degenerative health condition.
But we're talking he's got this year plus 5 more years after this in the neighborhood of $5 million on the cap for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they are, believe it or not, they're less concerned about the money they have to pay it anyway than they are the productivity and what they hoped he would be. He came back and played almost half a season last year, and some of his efforts probably helped the Jackets get in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, to be honest.
Number 5, I was, for the first time in a long time, pretty proud of sports media, pretty proud of the sports world yesterday, because Michael Sam got released from the Dallas Cowboys practice squad. And I don't believe I read any article about how he was being wrongly persecuted. Maybe you did. I didn't.
No, I didn't. Or whether he was distracting people on the practice squad. Because I think most NFL fans, even if you can only name the quarterbacks on each team, and your NFL knowledge constitutes, hey, I'm going to pick this team in the pool because they've won two straight. You knew he was on the Cowboys.
Yes.
But you also know the Cowboys are good this year, so there's depth that makes it. If you're on the practice squad of the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Cleveland, even the Cleveland Browns this year, maybe you'd say, huh, are they that deep that they can afford not to try him out at the club and give him a start?
If the Dallas Cowboys are 1-6 as opposed to 6-1, is this headline news?
It probably ends up being a bigger story. It was a big story. They did sell some Michael Sam jerseys in Dallas. They did. I don't think that's going to affect Jerry Jones's bottom line too much, but you might feel a bit silly for buying one. I don't know.
Number four, the Toronto Raptors have a preseason game tonight in Toronto, 7:30 at the ACC, against some team.
Maccabi Haifa.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's Israel's better in. Professional teams. Not their national team, but one of their better professional teams. Then they go to Montreal. They actually play at the Bell Center Friday against the New York Knicks. I bet you some of those Knicks players like going to Montreal and having that off night there tomorrow night. Why do I feel that? The Knicks are like, we'll do the Montreal trip.
Number three, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet. Yes, it is the Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. Really intrigued to get our first look at Ottawa. They're off to a great start this season, yet, listen, we're slow to come around. Nobody thinks they're actually any good, are they?
They don't have a player who's averaging a point per game. It isn't like someone's roared out of the gate for them and been real good offensively either. David Legault has fit in nice and scored two goals in his last two games. That seems to be a fit. And the goaltending is back to normal. Craig Anderson, we got to admit, had a very bad year last year. But I still don't know that there's enough depth on the Sens to make the playoffs, even in the Eastern Conference. This would be a good win tonight for them, getting Toronto on a back-to-back as well.
Number two, Leafs win 5-2, as mentioned. Two goals for Phil Kessel on Long Island. Leafs in Ottawa tonight. The number one thing you need to know, it was all San Francisco last night in Game 1 of the World Series. 7-1 over the Kansas City Royals. Madison Bumgarner, you called it, absolutely dominant. Giants scored 3 in the first off James Shields and never looked back. So Game 2 tonight, Greg, we got Jake Peavy against Yordano Ventura. Is this a gotta-have game for the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, it's gotta-have to go in on Jake Peavy, whose postseason numbers aren't that pretty, and they don't even just look that way. He's got a 7.03 postseason ERA. That's
terrible.
That's really bad. All-time, he's got a 7.03 ERA, but he was very good in the NLDS against the Nationals. I'll tell you what, I do think the bottom kind of falls out of the Giants' rotation after Bumgarner. I don't think this is as deep a team as 10, right, with Lincecum as an inarguable ace.
Well, they didn't win 90 games for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
So you go Peavy, Hudson, and then Vogelsong, and Vogelsong wasn't that good in the regular season. Matt Cain's on the DL, and they haven't used Tim Lincecum, and that's very fascinating. There's probably no one that's ever had Lincecum's resume that is sitting there watching from the side. And I'm not saying you start him because it's not health with him. It's just he hasn't been very good.
But hang on a minute. There's no Dave Dravecki anymore on this team. What are you going to do?
I noticed that.
Will Clark's not giving inspirational speeches. We want to send you to the ACC to watch Toronto take on the Boston Bruins this Saturday, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. It is Brady and Walker's ticket window. We're playing Name That Player. We gave you clue at 6:14, your third and final clue. Coming up at 8:14, here is clue number two. This former Toronto player, Craig Brady's a big fan of this because he was born in Ontario but played college hockey in Michigan.
I don't care what he did.
It's a player right after Brady's own heart.
Free tuition. The price was right. Coming up, Doug McClain, NHL and Sportsnet Insider, brought to you by Siciliana. He'll tell us how he views the Leafs front office working out. He knows Mark Hunter very, very well and what he ends up bringing. And at 7:30, more on the World Series. We'll tell you about the Marlins jacket guy. Don't forget Marcus Stroman on with Mike Wilner tonight on the pregame show at 7 o'clock. We have the game Ventura versus Peavy, game two, before the series shifts back to the Bay Area right here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
USA. USA.
I don't know why you do that.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Polak into the corner. Had it knocked off his stick. Winnick looking for a man in front. Hit Pollock. His shot scores! Holy mackerel, what a play! Roman Pollock makes it 3-2.
7:24, Brady and Walker. Big show coming up. Don't forget, Darcy Tucker is going to join us after 8. He's off the Leafs payroll. Good news for everybody. And
see, if I said that, he'd be mad at me.
That's because you guys don't have a great relationship. It's like you and it's like you and Jerry D. You're always fighting.
You know what? That's not true. Jerry D. prefers Brady over Walker.
Also, a Buffalo Bills tight end.
9 out of 10 doctors do.
Buffalo Bills tight end Scott Chandler is going to join us as well at 7:42. Now he is not happy with you either because they're 4-3, and you can't stop talking about how bad they are.
I know.
Everyone's mad.
Sorry, they'll be 8-8.
Even Doug McClain doesn't like.
No, that's not true. Bills. That's not true. Bills and Jets go at 1:00. By the way, we have that game. By the way, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan on Sunday. Don't forget Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. Leafs sends from Canada tonight, and then Washington and Edmonton from Edmonton at 9:30.
Oilers are red hot.
That's where the arena is
red
for right
hot.
Now. Doug McClain's our NHL and Sports and Insider, brought to you by Sicily Honda. Good morning.
How you doing?
Well, good. Tell us, I didn't hear a lot of your take on Mark Hunter joining the front office. You've known Mark a long time, and what people say is there's a big competitive advantage for Junior. It's like college football being one of the powers, being what the Knights are. But all I heard yesterday, and I believe this also, nobody works harder. He sweats like a maniac to get stuff done for that team. If he brings that to the Leafs, this is an excellent hire, isn't it?
Well, he sweats. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, sorry. When he's eating.
Gross.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Look, I like the hire. I think he's a hockey lifer. He's a scout. He's a guy that's been in the trenches. And, yeah, you know, doing the junior, there's no doubt he's one of the hardest working guys in the business. And I think he's a good hockey man, and I think it's a real good hire. So it'll be interesting. I mean, people say, well, he doesn't have a lot of NHL experience, and no, he hasn't. But you know what? I know when we dealt with him in junior, we drafted quite a few of his players in London, and he always, you know, whether it was Mason, whether it was Nathot, whether it was Nash, he always had a strong opinion as to whether they'd be NHLers, and our people really trusted him, and I think everybody in the NHL trusts them as far as their opinion when you were talking about their players. So I think it's a good hire. I really do. And, he's player personnel. I don't know what that means anymore. It used to mean that, you know, you were in charge of amateur and you were in charge of overseeing the pro scouting. So if that's what he's doing, I think it's a real good hire.
We've seen a bit of a new-look front office here in Toronto. Doug McClain, our guest, and maybe this is a predictable thing, but I heard the phrase a few times yesterday, Doug, too many cooks in the kitchen. Is there any element of truth to that?
Well, I don't think it's too many cooks in the kitchen. I mean, he's essentially replacing Dave Poulin is what he's doing. You know, it may be a little bit different role, but he's essentially replacing him. And, I mean, obviously, Dubas is the analytics guy, whatever that means, and Mark's going to be more the hockey guy, and obviously, they'll work together and be responsible for different areas. So, no, I don't think there's too many cooks, and Dave Morrison would report to Hunter, and also the pros would report to Hunter, the pro scouts. So that's how I see it, and I don't see it as any more cooks than they had in the kitchen before, to be quite honest. So I like it. I'm having a hard time coming up with something negative about the hire, to be quite honest, other than he doesn't have a whole lot of NHL experience. But look, when you're running a major junior team for 12 years or whatever they have, that's a lot of experience.
Doug McClain, our guest, 720.
And you know what? They've had a lot of success in London. So, you know, I'd be hard pressed to come up with a negative about it.
You saw a lot of Dallas and Vancouver last night. Give us your read on. We were talking about Kari Lehtinen too, who I know he let in 3 goals, but he was very good. Vancouver really attempted to fill the net in the second and third. You were picking Rick Nash the year that Lehtinen went, and you know what he was as a prospect. Now he's 31. Can if he stays healthy, is it that perennial question? And what can he be as a playoff goaltender on a good team?
Well, look, I think whoever is better in goal, whether it's Lehtinen or Miller, will be the reason either of those teams make the playoffs. And Dallas, most people are picking Dallas to get in, and you say, wow, they're pretty good. And you say, yeah, they're really good at that first line. And then after that, you're saying, really, there's a major, major drop-off to the second, third line. Then you say Goligoski and Daly are a real good defense pair, and then you say, ouch, that's a big drop-off after that on the back end. Lettinen's got to stand on his head a lot of nights for that team to win. Then you look at Vancouver and you say, well, that first line with the Sedins and Rabada looks like it's going to be a real good line. I'm not sold on Bonino, Burrows, and Higgins as a second line yet. They were -3 last night. And then you like the defense, but there's a bit of a drop-off after Edler and Bieksa. So they're pretty similar. I think you see, you know, who's going to make the playoffs between Colorado, Dallas, and Vancouver. I think two of the three make it.
729, Brady and Walker. Doug McLean, our guest. One thing that we knew this heading into the season, the top line scores for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Toronto Maple Leafs win. If put yourself as in those shoes as a head coach, do you give any merit to the idea of perhaps splitting up Phil Kessel and James Van Riemsdyk?
Right now, I probably wouldn't, but I think you can mix it up a little bit that you use Kessel or JVR with Lupul and Kadri at different times, and you know, try to give some balance to your second line with one of those two, and you can, you know, it doesn't hurt for JVR to play every second shift once in a while. I mean, he can play a shift, he can sit a shift, and he can go back out with Lupul and Kadri, or Kessel can do it, you know, every once in a while. Just to me, they've got to find a way to get that second line being a productive line.
Right.
And I like Winnick as a player, but to me, he's a third liner. And there's nobody else in that group that can be a top six guy. So they've got a little bit of an Ottawa thing going here from last year where there's five guys and they need six. And, you know, Winnick can be short-term. Santorelli can be short-term once in a while, but there's nobody that really should be a top six guy. So, you know, that's a challenge to find somebody. And, you know, if you don't have a top six, you're not guaranteed a playoff spot.
What about splitting up Kiprios and Millard? You know, there's strengths in both sides.
Oh, stop it.
You know, we see you as the, you know, the leader, and you drive the puck possession and the conversation.
Well, if you want to get into analytics, they don't work well together at key times. There's no doubt about that. I wouldn't call it puck possession, but it's something.
Mike possession. Hey, give us 30 seconds on the Ottawa Senators really quick. They play the Leafs tonight. You know, everyone says they're no good, and here they are at 4-1.
Yeah, and they're giving up 36 shots a game. Their goaltending has been pretty good. Paul McLean saying they're playing better defensively, so it's been easier on their goaltending. Again, 36 shots, what's that mean? I like to know what the quality of the shots are. You know, they seem to be better. The leadership thing seems to be resolved. And Carlson, talking to him yesterday, I think he's a heck of a kid. He looks like he's off to a great year. They've got some issues on that second line. Zibanejad hasn't been the guy that they need him to be yet. He and Ryan and Chiasson, or whatever, however you pronounce his name, haven't
it's Chiasson.
What is it?
I was just going to say, it's Chiasson. Nothing's changed.
I thought somebody wanted to change.
It did, anyway. But stick to your guns.
Yeah, okay, good. In PEI, they're called Chiasson. That's all I know. So, you know, they've got some holes there, too. Tonight's going to be a real interesting game. I would have liked to have seen it without the Leafs in a back-to-back just to get a better feel for both teams. These teams think they got a chance to finish in 7th and 8th, so it'll be interesting to see. But they've got some holes, not unlike the Leafs, to be quite honest.
Hey, Doug, we'll be listening at noon today. Thanks for this.
Thanks, guys.
There's Doug McLean joining us on Brady and Walker, 7:33. By the way, just a quick mention, starting on Sportsnet 1, it's that big WTA Finals in Singapore, and Eugenie Bouchard starting against Anna Ivanovic, if you like breakfast and women's tennis combined. It's on Sportsnet 1.
Are they limiting the sets?
No. because of our women's boxing story earlier.
Yes.
We mentioned a story an hour ago that women's...
Oh, I don't reset
well,
this.
Well, I want to. Women's boxing rounds are being cut to 2 minutes from three, and one of the five reasons given was, well, women menstruate. Well, yeah, maybe not during the rounds, but it's ridiculous.
Terrible story.
We're just reporting. It's unbelievable the WBC could let that out there. Let that cat out of the bag.
So Bills tight end Scott Chandler joins us at 7:42. Rumor has it he is upset with you.
Can you not? I want to get along.
The Bills are 4-3.
You know, I woke up in a great mood, and I don't know what the hell happened.
They're inspiring. They're sitting second right now in the AFC East. They might make the
playoffs.
You're
doing great. You got three more minutes
in
here?
And you have to come in here every Monday and crap all over the Bills. They're 4-3.
I will walk from this interview if you embarrass me in front of either Scott Chandler. I'm not walking for the Darcy Tucker interview no matter what.
Except Hugh Burrell is starting for them at running back this weekend. So that's no good.
That he's reporting in the World Series in Kansas City, and you know that already. Also, we'll get into a story about a woman who just couldn't recover from a breakup.
Oh,
so she took some comfort in food, but to the extreme.
Didn't stop.
It's an interesting, fascinating story from China, no less, as we go. It's a very global show this morning at 7:51. We do that.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sammy Watkins left, two receivers right. Here's the snap. He's looking Watkins' way. Waits, fires into the end zone, and he's caught for the touchdown.
Sammy Watkins wins it on the weekend for the Buffalo Bills. You know what? That was great and everything. But Scott Chandler was wide open.
Oh, yeah.
He was wide open.
That's what you call running a good pattern. That's what you call good offense. Bills are 4-3 now. They go play the Jets in the Meadowlands, who will have a bit of a rest because they had that exciting Thursday nighter against New England.
Except I might
maybe
be starting
a better team.
I might be starting at running back for them this weekend. So that's not good.
Scott Chandler is kind of joins in his fourth full Buffalo Bills season as tight end. Yeah, you didn't really get a view of that amazing moment in Orchard Park, but you heard the crowd and you knew something good had happened. Correct.
Yeah, when I turned around and looked over there, I saw the ref's arms in the air. So that's usually a pretty good sign. And then I saw Sammy throw the ball up in the air about 50 feet. So yeah, we were excited, man. That's a fun way to win a game. Obviously, it's not the way you draw it up for the first 3.5 quarters, but you know, a win's a win in the NFL.
When you're in the huddle with Kyle, the concept is we do this quickly, we get a second crack at it. Or did you treat that play like, hey, if we have that second play, it's a bonus, but we are all obviously all aware time might run out here.
Yeah, I think you're aware that time might run out, but I think Kyle and we were and the receivers were aware that hey, if we can get this off quick, we got two shots at the end zone, and we just knew that it had to be in the end zone, and you were either catching it or you were, you know, it was going to be incomplete. You weren't getting tackled at the 1 yard line or anything, so. Yeah, it was a, you know, great job by those two, and for Sammy to be able to get, you know, that much separation from the 2 yard line is pretty phenomenal.
Buffalo Bills tight end Scott Chandler, our guest on Brady and Walker Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You summed it up pretty perfectly there. It's not exactly how you draw it up. It hasn't been pretty the last few weeks, but Kyle Orton comes in and you're winning football games. You know what turned the tide here? You go from EJ Manuel to Kyle, and you seem to be coming up on the right side of things.
So, I mean, we were 2-2 coming out with when Kyle started, but I think that Detroit game was big for us, just confidence wise, being able to make plays there at the end of the game, both offensively and defensively, to pull it out on the road against a team who is they're a good team, and they've got a great defense. And you know, we've actually played a lot of defenses who are ranked in the top 10 this year. You know, we get another crack at a good defense this week with the Jets.
Scott Chandler, our guest. We've got Bills-Jets, by the way, Sunday at 1 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You guys also have an excellent field goal kicker, and not everyone does. We mentioned the Lions have had their issues and did in that game. Dan Carpenter wins it from 58 yards out. Does that at all factor in when you're in a huddle, when you're realizing, when you're driving, just to get in that territory, you're confident. You can try more things when you get within about the 35 or 30-yard line, whereas, let's face it, some teams, and you know, when you're in college in Iowa, you're going, hey, our guys only got so much range. We got to push even further. I know the goal is to score a touchdown on every drive, but how helpful is it for an offense to have a guy that's been, he's been automatic from 50-plus this year?
Yeah, you know, I've been on teams where it's, all right, guys, we can't leave it up to the field goal kicker.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get points. And that's a miserable feeling as an offense. But, yeah, I think that we've got a lot of confidence in Dan's ability. And, you know, anytime I see the field goal unit running on, you know, I'm a part of that. But, you know, I just feel like it's 3 points. I don't even, most of the time I don't even watch the kick. You know, just wait for the guy's arms to go up, which is, I mean, that's, if you can get that kind of consistency out of that position in the NFL, it's someone that you need to keep around, and I'm glad that we were able to do that this offseason with Dan.
Injuries happen. They're a part of football. That said, what is running through your mind as an offense when you see not only Fred Jackson but C.J. Spiller after a big run go down and both get carted off this past weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a comforting feeling, really. But we also know that, you know, Booby's a guy he's a very instinctive football player. You know, you watch that game, and there's from a player's perspective, we can see things that he does that not a lot of guys are able to do, especially when they haven't been playing a lot. You know, just being able to pick up guys on blitzes who might not be his guy, and you know, he's reacting quick enough and seeing things quick enough that he's able to do that. And then the way he's hitting those holes right now, you know, he ran pretty well in the game on Sunday, so we're excited to have him. And then, you know, we all have seen Bryce, not just this preseason, but with Philly in the past, and we know that those guys can carry the load and shoulder the load for us. Obviously, you know, we're going to miss Brett and CJ, but we know those guys can do the job.
I know it's been an emotional season so far. What a huge win! You mentioned the one in Detroit. Good luck on Sunday at the Jets to come back 5-3, host Kansas City a week later. That'll be unbelievable if you can pull it off. Thanks for this, Scott.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Scott Chandler, tight end for the Buffalo Bills. He's always a great guest for our station, and we appreciate him coming on early. Buffalo's at the Jets, 1 o'clock. That game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. They host Kansas City. Go to Miami, host the Jets, and host Cleveland. They have 5 weeks before they play the Denvers, the Green Bays, the New Englands again before it gets too problematic. Now, last week,
why are you sending me this email?
Yeah, I want you to talk about it. 7:49. Don't forget, we've got World Series Game 2 tonight. Mike Wilner's pregame. We'll have Marcus Stroman. But we're as excited about that game as we are this announcement. We've had Boomer Esiason on our show before. Blair had him on his show last week.
Yeah, but never again. Not after this.
Not after this?
Not after this.
New announcement. Boomer Esiason is taking on a new venture, and it is football related. People say, oh, hey, that sounds interesting, guys. Is it a front office job somewhere? No.
It's kind of a front office job.
Is he leaving Craig Carton to come? Is it Brady, Walker, and Boomer? No.
Commissioner of a new league.
The Feline Football League.
Again, why are you sending me cat videos?
Announces
during the show.
I saw a breaking story involving Boomer Esiason, and I thought Boomer Esiason, who's been kind enough to spend time with us and talk about, you know, Michael Delzato's transitions out of his own zone and Chris Kreider's stats in neutral ice. I thought if he's going to come on and talk Rangers hockey, we can at least give him props for this new venture.
See, I'll read this to you. Expanding out from the Kitten Bowl, the Hallmark Channel will soon...
Is that the one where the girls are in the lingerie?
I'm not sure. The Hallmark Channel will soon bring to you the Feline Football League. Yes, that's cats taking to a football field in the Kitten Bowl. What is happening? What's going on?
Now,
like, listen, I know... you're a cat guy. I have cats, but I'm not a cat guy.
You call me worse than a cat guy.
Right.
You've used the P word.
I have used the P word.
So terrible.
Grow up. My girlfriend wanted kittens, so we got a couple of kittens.
You're being the wimp here, blaming this on your other half.
It is. It's her
and
fault.
And the better half.
It's her fault. So I have, two cats living in my house. So you think...
If she wanted a python, you're not bringing Sammy the snake home from the exotic pet store?
Maybe I am. I'm wrapped around her little finger. But this does not give you the excuse to send me cat videos during the show.
Feline football coverage will be on the Hallmark Channel in the States.
How is it a league? How do you determine who wins and
loses?
I'll
tell you why.
I don't get it.
Because the feline foot... Boomer Esiason is doing this the right way. There's going to be a scouting combine. What you look for is clawed or declawed. Okay?
Right.
Shedding, non-shedding. Think about how many NFL players are shedding on a regular basis.
Okay.
A draft and a regular season, and then, yes, the Kitten Bowl on February 1st.
Here's a question. Would you rather go to week one of the Kitten Bowl, or do you want to see the Argos take on the Ticats this weekend?
Hey, that's enough CFL talk.
See,
fellas.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, kitten spelled with a K. Tell Mr. Big Voice Kitten is spelled
I'm sorry.
With a K.
Go see the Argos.
All right, can I give you the better story? The one that fascinated us earlier on was a wire story we saw about a woman who's 26 in China, and she was dealing with a breakup. Okay, nobody likes getting dumped at the best of times. Sometimes you would know all about it, but continue. Not really. I can count them on one hand.
Oh yeah, you did the dumping.
And then after I'm dumped, the one hand. Anywhere.
Nobody loves talking about their feelings more than Brady. You would have been a great breakup guy.
I am an excellent breakup conversation person. Tan Shen is not, that I know you thought you had it at the doctor's the other day, but Tan Shen is a woman in China, and she had a breakup, and she decided, I'm going to stop in at KFC.
And fill my face.
Near the train station by my house. And that's okay. We all eat, right? When I have a bad show, it's like a carton of butterscotch ripple. And I've been pounding that stuff lately.
You're an emotional eater, yes.
So, here's the problem, Walker. She stayed at KFC, the same KFC, for a week. She didn't leave the restaurant. She put her head down at her booth, lay down, go to the bathroom, come back, order more chicken and fries. You know, maybe a thigh, maybe a drumstick, maybe those nuggets, maybe the double
chicken,
down.
Popcorn chicken?
I don't know if they have the double down in China. You'd think the government would step in and say the double down's really bad for you.
Like, I can understand. Let's say you get dumped and you're having a bad time with it. So you go to, I don't know, Hemingway's Pub down the street here from our studio, and you have a few and you have lunch and then you stay a little longer. Before you know it, it's like 11 p.m. and the Sunday night football game's on, and you stay till close, right? People have done
do a 12-hour shift at a bar
or like a double meal, right? Yeah. Like, have you ever been ordered breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a bar? People have done that.
It's a great date, and I know you haven't been on too many of those either, but you're having a great time on a first date and you can spend 12 hours somewhere.
Right.
Anyway, she stayed.
This is not all day at a bar. This is a week at KFC.
Yeah, 7 days at the same KFC. That's... After a few days, employees at the chicken shop began to get concerned. Worker Jang Liu Lung, 22, said, "We work in shifts here, so nobody really noticed her at first. But then she started looking really familiar. Then I realized we'd been serving her for the past 4 days and she hadn't actually left. When we asked her if she was okay, she said she was and just needed time to think, and then asked for another box of chicken wings with extra large fries." Like, her appetite didn't go down at all. Like, it's one thing to eat the same thing for 3 or 4 straight days, but at the same location takes some dedication.
That's actually really funny.
It makes me want fried chicken right now. I gotta be perfectly honest.